that. Make us what He wants us to be. How many desire to be what He wants us to be? Amen. And knowing that He's able, He desires that we would make ourselves available to Him. That this great master sculptor could build His masterpiece. He could bring us in His very own image. He could step into His masterpiece of His final act. What a great thing that is. So wonderful to be in His house today. Do you appreciate being here? In the presence of God. Isn't God good to give us so many blessings? People have come from all over the country to be here today to worship Him. May the Almighty God look down upon them. See the sacrifice that they have made, come from Guagliari, Citrus, Table Land, Rio Claro, wherever they have come from today. That the Holy Spirit, amen, can bless them abundantly. I believe He will do it. Amen. Let us bow our heads for prayer. This is a great time, a great part of the service when we can come. Bringing our needs before Him. Knowing we are a needy people. These few moments that we would take our requests before His great throne of grace. He's as much interested in meeting our needs as He is in speaking to us and revealing His plan for our lives and helping us and giving us understanding where we lack and strength where we need. But He's more than interested this morning. If you could cast your cares upon Him. Fathers, mothers, husbands and wives, children, church, God is able this morning. And as we look to Him in prayer, let's remember the Bible says, He that cometh unto God must first believe that He is, not was or will be, He is. And He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. I want to encourage you right now, wherever you are, all in the rooms, everywhere on the outside. Hold a request upon your heart. Let me see who might have a special request here today. Just look at those hands. It just shows that there are many needs. But you know something? We serve a great God. We serve the Almighty God who is able to minister and to meet every need. Let's believe Him. You know what our faith can do? Bible said, if two shall agree, as upon touching anything, it shall be done. For where two or three are gathered together in My name, there I am in the midst. And when we believe together like this, it creates a great wall of faith. It becomes white all over. No darkness of unbelief can move anywhere. But whatsoever we believe and have, believe that we have received what we ask for, we shall have it, He says. So let's unite our faith now and look to Him. We thank You for teaching us these things, Father. We thank You, dear God, to give us faith to believe it and to exercise in it. Because that's much more than just saying that You said that. That shows that we have received it and that we believe it. We are not ashamed to act upon it. Because we hear it and recognize the truth. It would influence us. It would motivate us and inspire us to go to acting upon it. Expecting, Lord, to see these things made manifest in our lives. To fulfill the needs that we have. And even as we stand here today, we are grateful, Lord, the beginning of another week. The first day of the week. That we can come and gather together in Your house. Knowing, oh God, that this week we'll be faced with many things, Lord. Another portion of our life will unfold. How it will go, we do not know. But when we consider the privilege that we have to come and to commit our ways unto You, to acknowledge You in all things. Some have many decisions they might have to make this week. Things that is on their agenda, Lord, that they are looking for You to come on this scene and give them the divine assistance that they have need of. Parents for the children. Children faced with things, dear God. Parents with the different responsibilities. different ones in the job, needs in the home, even their own personal lives. But dear God, as we stand here in your presence, realizing that we are a called-out people, separated unto you, chosen by you, Lord, to live in this age, a peculiar people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. You've called us out of darkness. We can walk in this marvelous light, this light that you've set at evening time. And that you desire that we'll show forth your praises. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. You said we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. We are your witnesses, Lord. You beautify us with your salvation. That you might show that you are alive. That you might display your works. That you might fulfill your program for this age in and through the members of your bride. We bow in reverence, in humility. We confess our sins, our shortcomings, our mistakes, our failures, Father. With sincerity before you, Lord. Knowing, O God, that so many times we consider something small and insignificant, but it's the little things that we leave undone that affect us many times. Sometimes we might have hurt you in our attitude, the way we speak or the way we acted. Sometimes we might have stumbled, one, in the environment where you place us to shine the light, where you desire to be represented by us, to give a witness that you're not dead but you're alive, to shine your light, to show your beauty, Lord, to display the life of Christ. Sometimes we were selfish. We neglected to capitalize upon the opportunity to do something for you when you presented it, Lord. But we bypassed it because it wasn't to our personal interest. Oh, gracious God, how we want that our lives would be on the altar of sacrifice continually. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily that Christ can live in me. The life I would live in this flesh, I would live by the faith of the Son of God. Not I that live, but Christ, this anointed word. This mystery of God in me would be revealed in me and through me. Isn't this what you call us for, Father? Isn't this why you place us in this age? Isn't that the purpose why you send the message and make it known to us? Isn't this the great fellowship of the mystery? That you desire to fellowship with us in this oneness? In this peace offering that you desire to establish between God and man, and you've given us, Lord, the right shoulder, you strengthen your power, you've given us the breast, your love and your affection to feed upon, that together we can feed in this great thanksgiving, that you triumph over the enemy, you broke the middle wall of partition that you could reconcile us and bring us back to become one, Father, in Christ. And to know that this is the very grounds of our fellowship today. As we come through these doors, we come to meet with you. We come to fellowship, to receive your word. We come to give thanks, remembering how you blessed us last week. Remembering the good things you did for us. In those silent moments when we just breathed in them in prayer, we saw things change. When we felt nervous and filled with tension and pressure and didn't know how things would turn out, and we committed our ways to you. And Lord God, everything went smooth and everything went fine. And you sure you don't have to worry. As long as we rely upon you and depend upon you, you are able to accomplish the things that concerns us. Oh God, you see these needs, Father. Meet each and every need in the hearts of your children. As they believe and confess that you are able to do these things, may they find one more time that you are faithful. And you are willing and you desire to do these things. Because this is what you accomplish us in Christ. And this is the love of God that was displayed to us through this great sacrificial work of our Lord Jesus. Continue to open our understanding. Continue to give us revelation. That this might be a personal thing to each and every one of us. Because our religion is not about coming to church and just going through some routine and ritual. It's a walk with you. It's a relationship with you. It's a fellowship with you. Oh, God, it's a union with you, Lord. How we want to grow in this and grow in the knowledge of this and to live in the strength and power that this was designed and intended to bring to our lives to show forth your victory, Lord. Bless all that's gathered here today. Lead and direct us in the paths of service. The things that you see necessary to minister to us at this time. That your church might be built up in this holy faith, being made ready. Grant it, Father. Remember those out in the field there in Tobago and Grenada, and even the preparation for the meetings coming up this weekend. Father, all these things we commit into your mighty hands. Bless your children where they are gathered. Minister to them. Bless your servants that stand there faithfully at the post of duty. Give them the unction, the power of the Spirit, the leadership and direction, the all sufficiency that they have need of to draw from, to minister the unsearchable riches, to strengthen and edify and build up your people, Father. May you bring every power of the enemy here among the lives of your children. And may, dear God, every need be met. And when we go back out through those doors, we say, surely it is good to be here. Granted, Father, we thank you. We praise and we honor and glorify you. We commit all these things into your mighty hands. For we believe in the almighty and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. We are certainly happy to be gathered. I'd like to open up in the book of Genesis, chapter 13. And a place in chapter 19 as well. I was speaking on Wednesday night. I had a meeting there after last Sunday. On the power of parental influence, meeting with the parents of teenage children, and then Thursday we had a fine meeting also with those from the ages of 17 to 21, our sisters, and that certainly was a blessing. And then Friday in prayer service, we kind of continued along the same line, and then yesterday it was very overwhelming to see the turnout. And like I'm becoming a little more conscious of how much young people, and they're their sisters, and how much they desire to walk in the truth and to be able to receive and grasp and understand the truth. And I certainly pray that God will help us to minister in a way to strengthen their lives and fulfill these needs. And I want to continue with that same inspiration, the power of parental influence, part 2. Today, and it'll be directed more for the parents, but I hope to pick up the children as well, and that will take in the whole assembly, because the church is a mother also, ministry is a parent, and you know, the elect lady and the children, the Bible says, those born from the womb by this revealed truth, in the home church here, the church family here. So it's certainly family time, the token time. And all these things we believe is good to put an emphasis upon it. Genesis 13, and we'll read from verse 10. From verse 5 to 9, give us a little story of a separation that had taken place between Abraham and Lot. And Lot departed from Abraham's company because there was some little wrangling among the herdsmen. And Abraham was very gracious to say, okay, my precious brother, if you choose to go east, I'll go west. If you choose to go west, I'll go east. Or whatever. But let us not wrangle, let us not fight before the unbelievers in the land. Let us hold a real testimony. And so verse 10 says, and Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So that is before the judgment was executed, and their fire fell, and turned the city into ashes. even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. As thou comest into Zoar, the Lord lifted up his eyes, and he beheld all the plain of Jordan, how it is well watered everywhere. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. And they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. Sometimes decisions are made under tensions and pressures and conflict and misunderstanding and wranglings and pressures and nervous strain. And here we see a decision being made. He lifted his eyes and he looked at the place that seemed to be prosperous or with some prosperity. And Lot decided to choose the plain of Sodom because he looked and saw it was well watered. He didn't see Sodomites. He didn't see the kind of influence upon Sodomites. He didn't see the evil of this city. He didn't see these things. He didn't see the judgment of God hanging upon it. He saw opportunity for advancement. Your eyes see through your heart. And people look at things sometimes and they focus on the wrong things. And sometimes they make the wrong decisions because they let the things that they look at influence them without looking at it through the eyes of the Word of God. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the city of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes. Notice verse 10. Lot lifted up his eyes. And he chose. Now the Lord is telling Abraham, now you lift up your eyes. See, as you lift your eyes and you focus upon things, as you view life and you view the age and you view the conditions of the age, that's why we had a messenger tell us what age it was. What was the conditions of the age? What God was displeased with the age about? What God condemned the age for? After you see those things, you realize God already expresses thoughts about it. You don't go and try to get God to change his mind about that. You try to let God's word filter your thoughts and you get lined up with God. If you want to succeed and prosper with God. Well, you're not going to outsmart God. Amen. No, sir. And you're not going to go against God and get things to work for you. So God is telling Abraham, you lift up your eyes now. And watch. And look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, unto thy seed forever. So here Lot looked, and he was going to go and try to work and achieve and build up and sacrifice to get. Now God is telling Abraham, I will give you. You can try to go and manage your affairs and get in the rat race and struggle and fight and have to compromise and lie and cheat and everything and say, well, I can't do better than you wait these out here and that's what I do and I succeed. Or you can follow God and let God give you. Amen. Not by might, by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord. The only difference is it's going to take faith to walk with God, but he brings faith by the word. Amen. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plains of Mamre. And Mamre means strength, which is in Hebron. And Hebron means communion and fellowship. And built there an altar unto the Lord. I like that. Revelation moved the man into a place of strength and communion and fellowship with God. Ambition, desire to further your social status, move Lot towards Sodom and to corruption and separation from where the word was and the presence was and the power of God was and the revelation, the mysteries and the angelic visitation was. People make such foolish choices in life. May the Lord bless me, we may have a seat. Let's turn to chapter 19. Lot was a family man. Lot had a wife and two children, two daughters. Sometimes people make decisions because they are selfish and only thinking of their own personal interests and not the interests of the children. If Lot was thinking about his children, he didn't realize it's a wrong decision to make. Because he's carrying them guilt among wicked, exceedingly wicked, sinful men. A place that was ready for destruction. Chapter 19, verse 1. Genesis 18, the seventh seal, God descends. My, isn't that the message of the hour? The Son of Man being revealed. Look at Abraham. By that time, Abraham had grown in faith. By that time, Abraham had grown in fellowship with God, that God had come to Abraham's house. That God was revealing the mysteries to Abraham about the change and the new body and the promised son and all these things. And Abraham was strong in prayer that he could intercede in all these things. All these mysteries was revealed to Abraham. But by that time, Lot had deteriorated and got entangled in the rat race. Sometimes people think, well, I can still serve God. I don't have to be around the world. I'm a Christian. I'm not only here to preach the word. I can go anywhere. That does sound good if a person wants a cloak to cover their ambition. But a person sins it to walk in the will of God. When you find the will of God and you find the will of God, you never turn that loose to nothing. Any other restructure has been the other things. It doesn't restructure the world for other things. No, no. But if you have to move somewhere to go to a place where the world is, that you move. If you have to change your job to stay with the world, you change your job. Sure. You found eternal life. Because when you begin to sacrifice and to please God, you can never lose. God will give you more than you can ever have by trying to get for yourself without the world. But when you think that you, I just work with it, I just do it, not God has given me, you just get problems. So children, let me tell you something. You learn the ways of faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And faith is the victory that overcometh the world. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening time. This is, you know what this time was? This was the time the two angels were, the second Paul. After Elohim himself was going to come down for destruction. Oh my, what a setting! What a setting! And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. In the Bible, elders would sit in the gate. Elder is mayor. So Lot was the mayor of the city. Anybody want the keys to the city or officially come into the city and be welcome into the city or have some purpose of coming to that city, it must be declared to the mayor of the city. He's the custodian. He's responsible for what goes on in the city. That's his jurisdiction. He had worked his way up. We see him making a decision going to Sodom. You can imagine now he's elected mayor. Now he's in the upper echelons of society. He meets with the police commissioner. He meets with the archbishop. He meets with all the visiting artists who bring their entertainment to bring joy into the city. Whether it's Helen Baylor or whoever come down, or whether it's gospel artists, different type of artists, whether it's a Chinese cultural group come with the acrobats, whether it's a Russian ballet, the mayor welcomes them. Whether it's some special star of the city who's gone abroad and come back, they give them a ride in a convertible, a car around the city, and they have a reception for them in the town hall. What a great job Lot had. Now and then he would send a card for Abraham. Abraham, no love lost, but here I am with the mayor. I think you are still resembling old shepherds out there in the dust. We have some nice lotion here. Maybe Sarah could use some of this for her sunburn. You know, she's old. She's kind of old and wrinkled. Maybe this can help her, you know. And send some, you know how you like to get a little good from the States sometimes. Some products, you know, get over here. How civilization in the laboratories, in the manufacture, this chemical stuff that make people feel, you know, a little better. So just think of it, because as it was in the day of Sodom, so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. It's the same day. And Lot seeing them, two angels, these angels, the Bible says. He saw all kind of artists, he saw all kind of different people, but he noticed these as angels. But it was like men coming with dust in the clothes. And he said, he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, behold, now my lords, turn, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. Woo! You catch that? Two angels from God? Lot get enough revelation to know these not just two tourists. These people ain't come to shop in the malls in Sodom. They come to attend some show or see the football match or something going on down there. He realized that he said, come turn to my house. It's night time. Don't stay in the street. He said, nay, we'll stay in the street all night. The street is better than your house. Oh, God, help us. We get an atmosphere in our house. But the angels stop at Abraham's house. Genesis 18, the angels stop at Abraham's house. He said, wait a minute, wash your feet. Sarah needs some cakes. He tells the man, dress the calf. We have to minister, show some hospitality here. And they sat down and they eat and they fellowship and they reveal mysteries and confirm the promise and all these things. Because there was an ease to reveal supernatural things in that atmosphere. My, woo! And I can see Mrs. Locke tell them girls, take off them two shorts, quick, quick, quick. Like, a daddy has some visitors here. Pull on a long dress and come out here quick. Woo! Brother, turn the TV off, quick! Brother, I tell you! The angel said, no, 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 we want to stand around. And he pressed upon them greatly. And they turned in unto him and entered into his house. Because you know, if we'll only delay our purpose and we don't have much time because this fire going to fall just now. So the angels kind of give in after a little pressing. And he made them feast and did bake unleavened bread and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, come past the house, wrung both old and young, all the people from every quarter. Isn't that strange? News coming, boy, they may have two special guests. These people have to be important people. We don't know them. They never come this before, but the way the mayor carried his own house and a feast going on inside of there had to be something important. Because even the mayor's daughters don't change their clothes if they didn't come out. Is there something happening? But the whole city come round about the house. And he made them feast and they bake on the bread and they lay down. Before they lay down, the men of city, even the men of Sodom, come past the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men who came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Woo! These are Sodomites. They see two new men come down there. Two young looking men. But they said, come pass around the house. And said, bring them out. Hear now. And Lot went out of the door unto them and shut the door after him. And said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, I have two daughters who have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do you to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back! And they said again, this one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge? Now, will we deal worse with thee than with them? See, you coming here to sojourn, you're a stranger. I don't know what kind of crooked politics get you elected, because maybe you bring business, all your cattle in the city, and you manipulate a few people, and the economy get a little boom, and so that kind of political move, they get you into the office. He said, you now coming to judge us? And you ain't really born and grew up here? He said, we're going to deal with you worse than them. Now what is the Bible doing? Bible of perfect words. What is it doing? God is, the Holy Spirit that wrote this, is trying to show you, it already tells us there was exceedingly wicked men before the Lord. Now he's showing you the nature of their wickedness. He's showing your human nature, the human mind, become so sensual, filled with such promiscuity, such perverseness, such vulgarity. They were deformed into such a hideous condition just before the fire fell. Everything in their mind was sex, perverted sex. You getting that? Isn't that the condition of the world today? Just before the fire falls again? Remember, Lot represents the lukewarm believer now. We can even also apply that to the bride, some of the bride in the lukewarm condition. Because he also typed Lot, spoken to the original seed, as a type of the bride. That Peter even said the righteous soul of Lot was vexed. But you have some people there in this late hour still hanging back in Sodom and getting mixed up and tangled up. But let us look at them as a lukewarm believer here this morning. People who make the wrong decisions looking for success and prosperity in a world that is ripe for judgment. Instead of trying to separate from the unbelief and trying to get ready to get up before the fire falls. And look at the grace of God, knowing they're in that condition, yet God still sending angels to them to pull them out, to minister to them. Because God is determined that none would perish. And that they don't even know how late the hour is. They don't even know the condition. They don't even know how God sees that old filthy world and getting ready to judge it. That they even there in an unconscious state of mind of what is really happening spiritually. Look at this story. Let's continue. And they pressed hard against the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. Verse 10. But the men put forth their hand and pulled up into the house to them, and he shut the door. And they smote the men with that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides? Son-in-law, and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. Can't you get your children out of all them things? Here the word of God saying, you have son-in-laws, you have daughters, you have children. Who you have in this place? Get them out. Start to talk to them. Start to testify to them. Get them out of this place. Watch. For we will destroy this place because the cry of them has become great before the face of the Lord. Every city have a cry. Port of Spain have a cry. San Fernando has a cry. The sin, the cry of the sin, the cry of the wickedness, it comes up before God. That God will have to send down angels in a city. Learn these principles. Learn about God. This input for our Old Testament story. All scripture is given by inspiration. You see God do something the first time, he does that every time. That's the way he set up his system. That's the way he works. He will not judge a place until he comes down there and investigate. You see little power outages, water outages. You see violence, you see crime, you see destruction in a place sometimes. People don't realize that's warnings. People don't realize God's shaking them up. You know why? Teletext and all a transformer blow up. She said, oh, that's where it was. This sort of old transformer they're buying from Taiwan ain't going to give us trouble. See? But it make homes suffer. And it's God bringing hardship. See, because they hold on to this kind of world. They live in this kind of world. But God is seeing the sin because more and more nightclubs going up. More and more casinos coming in. See, the church is getting more and more worse. More and more worldly. Homosexuality on the increase. Nations who say they don't believe in homosexuality, like in Zimbabwe, your president, Robert Mugabe. He's against homosexuality. Britain and them close down on him. Pressure. Trying to move him out of power now. You say, what? You locking up homosexuals are crazy? This is an age of sexual preference. You are bigoted in your mind. You have sexual prejudice. You are trying to deny a man his sexual rights. So what if he likes a man and not a woman? Why can't they marry? I'll show you 9 out of 10 man marry women end up in divorce. See the reasoning? That's the world today. That's why it's going to be destroyed. Amen. But before the destruction, all of a sudden you see some men come walking. Sometimes them men face shining with the presence of God. Sometimes the word of those men is straight. The word of those men is clear. It's like light. It exposes things that you walk in every day and can't see. It presents to you and say, look what it is. Can you see it? Amen. But people get conviction. They say, oh God, help me. I realize they said this wrong. Why? Those men are messengers. They carry the word. They're getting people ready to come out before destruction strikes. So I felt a shot there under a messenger this morning. Paul called them messengers to the church in the book of Acts. In Corinthians, messengers, angels to the churches. John called them pastors, angels in the book of Revelation. Glory! Men hastening with the word. Say, flee, run out. Judgment in the heart, come out of the air. People can catch, these are not just ordinary men speaking their own word. These men are speaking the word of God for the season. Glory! Now look at this commotion down here. The cries of them have come great before the Lord. The Lord shall send, has sent us to destroy it. Verse 14, catch this. Verse 8, Lord said, was telling the men, I have two daughters, they don't know man, they're virgins. I'll give them unto you, do what you want with them. But leave these two men alone. The men was interested in a lot of virgin daughters. Watch this part here now, you'll see something. It'll open something to you. Verse 14. And Lot went out and spoke unto his son-in-laws who married his daughters. You get me something? Son-in-laws who marries daughters and they're still virgins? How you read your Bible? Kind of marriage today to legitimize people. We only marry in to get status and citizenship over here, because we have to be citizens for my father to get a job. So I got a makeshift marriage. Sometimes people compromise, get into different things. Sometimes you're married the same face, we get old, and we're looking bad down here. And we have to stay here because this is where all the business is now. We can't pull up that business, we're going to lose, because we're not getting a chance to make some big money here now. See? So what do you think is happening? they tie themselves financially. Now they're going to tie themselves socially. And they don't forsake true religion and they settle for fundamental religion that have no life in it. All in the name of progress. All in the name of advancement. All in the name of success in life. As it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. Remember Lot's wife, Jesus said. Is that right? Let's move on a little bit again. I want you to grasp it. That's why I'm making my little comments here. And Lot went out and spoke unto his son-in-laws who had married his daughters and said, up, get you out of this place unto the Lord, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-laws. He just got a revelation. These angels appear. The angels reveal the mystery of God. You say, why we come here? We ain't come here to socialize. We come here to eat in your house. This place is about to be destroyed. The Lord have already descended. The elect have already been called and separated. He opened up the mysteries. He opened the seals so everybody show the sign before the change. We are here to run for your life. But what's something now? From the time he started to talk about God and judgment, he sends out a laugh. Wait there, how you get religious all of a sudden? You talking politics all the time. You're more interested in the sports. You're enthusiastic with all the business deals. We never hear God come out of your mouth hardly down here. Now you talking about judgment and run for your life? And make a decision tonight, self? He said you watch too much TV, become a comedian. Didn't take him serious. The man's testimony had no power. The man had no influence no more. He lives such a compromised life. He comes so lukewarm that when he tells him the truth, they laugh and they think it's a joke. That's what you want to become? You don't want to become that way, no sir, not this hour. And when the morning rose, then the angel hastened Lot, saying, arise. What everything with the angel is urgency. He said, move, hasten. Get your family, your sons in this place, your daughters, will you get them fast under the roof? Is we get ready to go out. Move quickly, don't waste time. Call them up on the phone, tell them. Tonight you have a meeting. Leave what they're doing. Tell them come right away. Brother. This had a laugh, his son-in-law laugh at him. These virgin girls married to these men. These two clowns. Watch. Now, I want to catch these two verses here. This next verse. He says, and when the morning arose, then the angel hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two. Nothing about the son-in-laws now, right? Nothing no more with them two homosexuals. Take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his daughters, the Lord being merciful unto them, and they brought him forth and set him outside of the city. They're trying to get the man to move, to act upon the word. You're hearing the word. They say, act upon it. Don't be lackadaisical. You don't understand what you're hearing. You don't understand the time. You don't understand what we come for. You don't understand that the Lord has descended. That you revealed him to Abraham already. Abraham's faith is under expectation for a change. And you playing around here. When they see he was dilly-dally, you know what they do? They grab their hand. And they carry them out. Didn't Jesus also say in Luke 14, after doing the first time and the second time, he said, then go and compel them. Compel them then. But they grab them by the hand. They said, look, you're holding back the program of God here. This thing is urgent and you don't even realize. You have to get in the spirit of director here now. But they had them moving outside the city. Leave them two sons there. Son-in-laws. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. In other words, run for your life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in order play, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Those angels didn't shift their focus for the purpose of the coming and for the message. They was constantly emphasizing the lateness, the urgency, the desperation. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. You see what civilization does to the people? You see what society influences to the people? A word trying to save your life and run. But you say, not so, not so. You argue with angels now. You can't have influence over two perverted son-in-law, but you want to now battle and challenge angels' authority. You see how some people get? This is Swap and Senior. The children of God. But this is what God spewed the age out of his mouth for. Because thou art
lukewarm.
This is lukewarm life here. Behold now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast shown unto me and saved my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil overtake me and die. God is saving you from judgment and the wrath of God. And God extends his mercy to you. And you go about, no, I'll go up there and get killed. An animal will devour me. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. You catch that? He gets so conformed to city life. When the angels are going to the mountain, we cannot tell him we should up in the mountain. He had no theater out there. He had no stadium. We can't go swimming on Sunday evening. No place to picnic. He said, I think you're being a little radical here, angel. I know a little city. It ain't far from here. And since that one is being judged yet, let me leave this one as being judged and go to the next one. Since he made that trouble with Abraham, watch that trait in him. He wrangled Abraham and he chose Sodom. No, he wrangled the angel and he chooses Zoar. You see how people are being unconscious, they don't change, they don't learn. They go through one experience, they go through the same thing, they go through the same thing, they go through the same thing. They ain't stopping and saying, I need to change my thoughts now. I need to change my way of thinking about that now. Because I see it, I understand how it's wrong, why it's wrong, where it's wrong. I understand how it's going to hinder me. I have to restructure that. Not I'm going to stay the same way and find another place where the things over here don't exist as much. No. It's laying your life down, laying your head down, laying your thoughts down, laying your attitude down. It's asking God to circumcise you, cut away these things. It's learning to yield and surrender and submit to come into the blessing. Because these things are not to unchristianize you. These things are to bring you to greater strength, greater power, greater fellowship, greater blessing, greater enjoyment. People just behave like if when God tells you to do these things, it's like he unchristianizing you. And no, you ain't going to enjoy your life. You got God taking everything from you. No, 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 no. This is to bring you into the real joy, into the real fellowship, into the real blessing, into the real victory. This is going to bring you to a place where the devil will not be able to manipulate you no more and control you no more. This is going to bring you to a place where you now will control the devil instead of the devil control you. Argue. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee, concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape there, for I cannot do anything till thou become there. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. And let's look at verse 30. And Lot went up out to Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, and he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. Now they're getting some incestuous thoughts here. They're not married to homosexual. They're trying to improve their life by from that kind of condition to go into incest. See the kind of sex problems here? You notice? This is the Bible I'm reading. I'm not reading some magazine here. I'm reading God's Word. To show us the condition of the age we are living in and where people is trapped in the problems today and why many of them is being deformed, and when God sent the remedy, they can't come out because they're not seeing how deep the condition is and they're not seeing how much grace God given in sending the remedy. That's what we're talking about. This again is the result of the, we saw the result of the first decision, he ended up in Sodom. We saw the result of the second decision, he going into incest. You see how whenever you leave spiritual things, where is in that? You don't see it right away. You just get your chance, you get your opportunity. That is why I believe that we sent it. When God talked to you, when you know you met with God somewhere, you work that way. God wants the grandchildren. You obey God's word and live and disobey and die. You may not lose your salvation, but your life could get messed up. Your family could get messed up. Those around you get tangled up. Because marriage and salvation is two different things. Your marriage could be a mess, yet your soul could be saved. But God didn't put you to have a saved soul with a messy life. God put you to have a saved soul and a life that can glorify Him. That is putting the Bible to show us the condition of lukewarm Christians today. How they think. Not spiritual. Not working with the word. Not having true discernment. Not realizing when the opportunity comes to them, how to capitalize and obey and lay aside everything regardless. See what is important for the moment. Lot wife, the reason she turned to a pillar of salt is because she felt she had left all them things behind. All them good things. And it's hard. How are you going to give up all that? And the angels that come up to here and don't look back. She's looking back into a world with desire that was already judged by God. She was called to go beyond the camp and bear the reproach, but she didn't want to go beyond that camp. It was hard because that is where she got accepted. She was in charge of the ladies' group. She had all her different things. You know, she was there in all the cocktail parties. She was playing mass in the carnival band. She pictures in the papers and the talk of Sodom in the section, the social column. And she was giving out all she little charities and everything else. Like just kind of get a profile, an image for all these social ladies. You know what I'm talking about? You have to read the Bible right and see what you're reading. Now watch the daughters now. See? The emphasis was in the business in Sodom. Emphasis was on different things. And their own personal career and their own personal achievement. Emphasis wasn't their family. Look where the family ended up here now. Though they were saved from the judgment, but look where the family ended up. You getting that? Saved, but look where the family ended up. And the firstborn said unto the younger of our fathers, verse 31, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the man of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine. And now we will lie with him that we may preserve seed of our father. Hey, they had learned them things, man. They seen enough movies to know how to drunk a man. See? You catch something there? Alcohol and sex. You catch it? You catch it? United together? Genesis is seed. Genesis is genes. When you read Genesis, that is the seeds of the Bible. Bible says wine is a mocker, it's a strong drink. Remember Noah when Noah drink and get drunk too? Happened? He went with his wife in the tent and then Ham come afterwards? Sure, because he's drunk. Watch it. Alcohol and sex. And they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not. Because why? He's so drunk, he lose all balance and judgment. His senses was blurred. And he didn't even realize what was going on. And she lay down, and he perceived not, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the next day that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, notice the bigger one influencing the smaller one now. You get that? See the mess the family life is in. Mother turned up pillar assault, girls committing an incest, after they were married to two homosexuals. All based on what? Decisions that the man had made when truth was coming to him both times. You never go against the word and prosper. And he perceived not when she lay down, when she rose, came to pass. And the next morrow, the firstborn son to the younger, behold, I lay last night my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go down in and lie with him, and we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger rose and lay with him. And he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. But before he got over the hangover in the morning, when he got, before he knew it, it was the next drinking session in the evening. Back drunk again. He didn't get time to sober up good. They had known how to use alcohol. They know to, what does Proverbs 6 say? She mingle her wine. She prepare her bed. Such are the ways of a harlot. See? Watch these girls here. Watch the methods they're employing. Good girls. In a good family. But the parents of the family didn't think of the children's interests. They thought of success and advancement and city life. See, in an hour when there was judgment coming in. And they had angelic visitation in their home. They had a revelation of the truth and the plan of God. But they wasn't interested. They was arguing all these things too. Because of society's effect and influence upon their life. They wanted to serve God, but their way. How they see it. How they want it. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And their firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. The same is the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ami. The same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Why did Moses, who write Genesis, make sure to show us where they come from? You know why? Because the Moabites and the Ammonites are the one who was coming against Israel when Israel was going to the promise. And Moses was careful to trace them and show you where they come from. And show you when Lot leave Abraham, he began to bring forth a life which was the seed in the wrong channel. A perversion of the truth. Because Lot's seed is supposed to go into Mistress Lot, not his daughters. And by perverting the seed and bringing the wrong channel, it brings forth two line of fighters, perverted children, fighting the true one, going to the promise. But where it originate from? What's the decision? You understand something? You're learning the ways of God? You understand the Bible? You understand how people get where they get? You understand how people become what they become? And you say, boy, think unfortunate, boy. No. Trace back a person's history. Find the origin. See if they're separated from error. See if they're determined to walk in truth. See if they're willing to lay aside their own thoughts and come subject to God. Then you will know. Don't judge the present circumstance. Look back down to their life. People might have made mistakes many, many years ago. They even forget it. But that's the problem today. How many remember the woman who had a problem? And she made a mistake many years ago and forgot it. And they're trying to doctor the problem according to present circumstances. Maybe the home you're living in changed your paint on your wall, girl. I think red had my attention. I read that in a book the other day. Authority on colors say color her moods, you know. So I think maybe it might help change her mood. Still can't help her. Change something else. Still can't help. Change something else. Still can't help. When the Holy Spirit gets down the subconscious, he says adultery commit when your husband was away in the war. That's the problem. And she found out your problem was many years ago that she had forgotten. And that's why a real doctor, somebody come and say they're sick, you don't give them a Tylenol or a Tylenol or a Panadol and say and try to get the pain to go. He tried to get to the cause of the sickness. What a powerful picture we have here before us of parental life. I was speaking the other night, Wednesday gone, about the power of parental influence and showing how in the book of Kings we were reading at the last chapter of 1 Kings, chapter 22, how the Bible said Jehoram, I think it was, or Ahaziah, had walked in all the ways of his father and all the ways of his mother. And I was bringing a thought showing that children were designed to be influenced by their parents. Now, let me read something one more over in Ephesians 6. This is where I want to take a thought from as well, to tie together with that for you. And this is scripture. It looks very simple, like an instruction, but it's really deep when you look into it. And for you, my dear precious sisters, who I met with last week, Thursday and yesterday, I want you to, when we went to school, the school teacher just sell sugar cake. No. That don't raise no. That's any boxer, not over long. To have a prosperous life. It's the first commandment with promise. Honor your father and your mother. Remember it. That's what God's word spoken out of the pillar of fire. And if you understand that that is pleasing unto God, if you obey God's word, God will give you success in life. Sometimes your daddy and mommy may die and go on. And you're facing life going through your hardship. And God, remember, you did honor your father and your mother. God, remember how you was obedient to the instructions. See? Now watch. And you, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Now I'll show you something. We can read that scripture and don't understand it. Children from about 1 to 12, they are in subjection, forced subjection. Children when they're about 20 upwards, they marry and then take their wife and go in their own house. So when these children obey their parents, that's the time when obedience is a little harder than before. That's the time when you are in your teenage and now you are want to express your individuality. Now you want to express your own thinking and opinion. But now is when you really need to trust the judgment of your parents. Because that's why the dear forgot they were a teenager at one time. And they can help you face those things you are faced with. And he's saying, don't provoke them to wrath. In other words, you as a father, you need to have knowledge. Your child is not the little one, the 12-year-old child that is a go and sleep, time to brush your teeth, go and do this, polish your shoes, do this, bring the paper inside, you know, pick that thing up the floor, we'll do this. Now they get a little bigger. The interests are different. They want to be involved in activities because it look appealing to them. It look attractive to them. They need your guidance. They need your instruction. They need your wisdom and their fellowship. And if at that stage you can't advise them properly and show them why, and you still want to just instruct and just listen to me and don't explain, their mind is a mind that's operating. Their mind is thinking, well, why is that wrong? So why I can't do this? Don't answer me. You do what I tell you. You're provoking. That's a provocative parent. That a parent wanted a robot instead of a child. That a parent failed to realize they had to grow into parenthood as the child grew into adolescence. in their young adulthood, coming to maturity. That's where their values is to be shaped and molded, and that's where they have wisdom to think and how to deal with the things they would face in that treacherous stage of their life, when their emotions seem to be in conflict and they can't bring their will subject and they're more controlled by desire and influence of things around them. That's when they need to know you're going through the change of life. Your chemistry and your biology, all isn't changing in your body. You're going through chemical changes, biological changes. Your thoughts are changing. They're coming at a different level. You don't have to make pin top no more. You're interested in the opposite sex. You're interested in earning money. But you need to know how to use money. Yes, you mean it is held back to the faith civilization. This message has the answer and can pose, give you the strength to possess every gate to come back to that place. Because this message was sent to take you there. From Egypt all the way to Canaan, where you're placed positionally with all things on their feet. Fight every giant, drive them out, occupy the position, live in the benefit of all that is in Canaan land for you in the Holy Ghost. That's what God sent a prophet with a message for, to take them out. That message was to guide them all the way there. Are we traveling the road? Are we handling the circumstances? Are we dealing with the problems? We are afraid of problems. Life, a man that is born of a woman is few days and full of trouble. We'll always have problems. We'll always have these things. We don't fall apart and get a nervous breakdown. No, we go to God in prayer. We take the word. We apply the word. We challenge the devil. We drive him off. We educate our children. We fellowship with them. We give them security. We strengthen them. We let them know they are loved. We bring them close to us. We show that love. We touch them. We hold them. We hug them. We laugh with them. We talk with them. They know we love them. Not just saying it. They feel the affection. He's in a talk and is creating an atmosphere of love and power, and it comes around others. We ain't critical. We ain't abusive. We ain't pulling down. We ain't castigating. No. We are counseling. We are instructing. We are opening up things. We are sharing. Amen! Why? We have caught a hold of the mystery! Seven thunders give us that faith. Because we're reflecting the real parent, God himself. We are his reflection on the earth. He said, if you who are evil know to give your children good gifts, how much more your heavenly Father. Hallelujah! If your child asks you for a bread, you wouldn't give them a stone. He is teaching, the great parent is teaching us how to be real parents. We talk about faith. No wonder that Jacob said, Papa, pray for me. Not because he said, but come on, come and pray for you. No. He have faith in your prayers. He see your life. He see your dedication. He know God hears you. He know you have contact with God. He know what the word of God say. You taught him. You fellowship with him. Amen. You done it before with him. He knows it works. Say, Mama, I'm faced with a situation here. But instead of going to ask that neighbor down the road, you know, who is trying to pick my mouth, walking in school, where I'm going through, if I have a boyfriend, I prefer to come and talk to you, Mama. Because I know you're going to tell me right. You're going to tell me the wrong thing. And I have to go and shoo, and let some girl and make some old team confession book and something. No. Mama, you could tell me. What is love, Mama? Amen. How can I know when I'm really in love? Mama, you ever get attracted to how you find daddy? How you and daddy really gel together? See, you all have a good, strong relationship. Was that always so? How were you attracted to in the beginning? Did you like somebody else, mommy? That's my business, girl, up to you. You know what kind of parent? That is where the girl is at. That's what she needs to know. Say, yes, I taught and had this boy in my class. I thought I liked my touch and so. But then, you know, one day, I happened to talk to my mom. And my mom told me so. So when she told me that, I know to show the wisdom and how God works in those things, honey. You know, your dad came around afterwards and everything was so perfect and we'd be happy to live after ever. We've had problems, but we knew that if God had established that thing, that's why we have confidence, we pray. Say, well, mom, you know, I'm right there right now. I'm right in every place. Oh, my parents, don't provoke your children, amen, but teach them, nurture them, raise them in the admonition of the Lord. Glory! Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Your parents say, go on with that book. You're wasting your time doing something. No, that's not the way. Honey, let me tell you something. You're attracted to that right now. See? You listen to that little song there. And you're reading that little book there. You see, you want to know love. I realize you're interested in love. Okay. I went for a little walk in the park. And I was walking, you know. This young lady was out in the stands. And she sat down there. I could see she maybe lived somewhere near. She came with a big book. And a big thick book about that. And while she's reading there, you know, I look in her direction. And I see the cover marked Bad Love. She's then crossing the book and she's reading. And first thing I realized, hey, she could be my daughter. Here she's come over here in the park to read. She read from home and she had this book. And she wanted to maybe read this book in peace without interruption. And out here, no daddy or no mommy. So she could read this book, you know. And she's absorbed inside. And I'm tempted to tell the girl, but I'm saying, hey, I come here to walk. And maybe next thing she may think it wrong. And next thing people around me think I'm trying to be fresh with the young lady or something, you know. So I just let it pass, you know. But in my heart, I say, boy, I'd like to tell her, you know, come and make two laps while we walk. And I'll tell you that you don't need that book at all. Amen. I'll bring you the first love, Jesus Christ, to love him. Amen. And come to know him as your Savior. And then let him bring you to the other love. Amen. Of a mate in life. That could be something. Because these books are just written, brother, by perverted minds trying to sell the wares, peddle the wares, looking for gullible souls. Who want to explore and who don't have somebody to have confidence in to tell them, where they can see a genuine example, a living example, and hear something from somebody who they see have a testimony that the thing works. You want to go by a mechanic to fix your car? That brother who all people parts in his yard, he end up with some cases in the court. People out there, brother, want to get a law to shut him down because he poses as a mechanic and can't fix nothing. Everything he fix breaking down. You don't want that. But you see a mechanic, brother, he laboring and he fixing that thing. You want to go there? Exactly. And that's the same way. If you're not fine about love and these things, you see a parent, a family. Look for a young boy and a young girl holding hand and say, ask them if they love. Don't look for that. They didn't start the course yet. They didn't go to a trial yet. Look for a man or woman. Brother, she get old, she get fat, she get all out of shape. Brother, she have false teeth in your mouth now. Brother, she can't walk properly. See? And you see a man loving that woman behind. She upholding she tight. Amen. Treating she good. Brother, like if she did just win the Miss Universe contest. And you're all proud walking back in the clouds. Hallelujah! Amen. Yes, sir! I feel the Holy Spirit saying these things. Amen. He ain't care how much deputy want to get quarantined on the job. Who want to do this right here? Who? Some lonely heart person saying, well, you know, I want to tell him a problem. I can get a talk with you for lunch. You know, I sit down and shout to anybody else in the office to talk to. He said, girl, let me tell you something. Here's a number. You call up a minister. You get some real counseling here. Amen. Glory be to God in the house. See, I know if I raise them children, and I know you ain't have the best of the world goods, but yet you look so contented. Yet you only come out so happy. Yet you still go for walks. Yet you still talk and go out together and laugh. What is this? I want to talk to you all. Tell me. Tell me your secret. Because if I go to enter into a relationship, I want a fruitful, lasting relationship that if years to come, it has to be sweet like this. I want something that works. I want some plastic thing that look good. This fellow with this girl going to this party here. Tomorrow going to the show here. Next day I sing along with somebody else. I see shoot somebody else. No, I want that. Your father is provoking the children to wrath. But bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Servant, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in the singleness of your hearts, as unto Christ. Now watch. It is in that teenage time is where it is most difficult for a parent to deal with the children. And that's where the parenthood is really tested. That's where the wisdom, the skill, the patience, the experience to deal with the child at that stage is all tested. Because while they're older and the child is small, you only look at them sometimes and the child cringe in fear because, you know, daddy might spank me. And I wanna. But when they get bigger, they can't spank them. And now you need to talk to them. You have to know how to talk to them and counsel them and instruct them. And you know how to win their confidence and how to motivate them and inspire them and encourage them and give them confidence in the self. And you have to let them know it is all is welcoming to come to you. That you have time for them. Brother, sometimes you bounce your car. Brother, you drop everything, the kind of car by the garage, you want straighten back, you want paint a certain way. If the paint kind of run a little bit, you're a little upset over it, something falling up whole tree, you want to get things scrubbed, that thing have to go there and get shampoo because you want that dirt off it. Or some scratch come on that car and you finish pay off it and you're real upset. See? And people get more interested in these things than the children. This is the child going that complex. This is the child feeling unloved. This is the child with attention. And they're not interested. They're not going to drop nothing to give personal attention. But let's come to the house. Galvanized leaking, so-and-so, this happening here. But you're going to stop everything. See? Microwave everything. Mommy get upset because the microwave is working. No, you're taking too long to heat the food. This over here. See, air condition breakdown. Boy, you get so uncomfortable, you get it fixed. And then the poor child's struggling sometimes, and nothing will be dropped. And the child is learning. You're teaching the child without even communicating and talking to the child. You're telling them those things are more important than the child. You're telling them you're more interested in the house and your appliances and your possessions than them themselves. That your money is more important to you than your own child. That they could get neglected if you get a few hours overtime to get some more money and you feel you could compensate for it by buying a box of chicken and chips or something to make them feel satisfied momentarily when they needed that talk and they expected to spend that quality time with you. And sometimes people fail to realize that the children become low priority items on the list. You think Adam was a low priority item and godless? You think God could tell Adam, boy, I get to have some angels up there. And this Lucifer, like, he's still getting trouble, so I have to go and do some problems. I hope you don't mind. I can't be here this week. And how about if I send, you know, the angel over the water or something to come here, talk to you, explain to you about the mysteries of waterfall and rivers and sea and fish and marine life and so on. That would be okay. I'm kind of busy. Right? When I get my schedule, better fix we handle. Remember Moses' wife? Moses went to, he going out to do the Lord's work and he charge up and buddy get his staff and he shaved his staff and hold his staff. Kind of nice. Get the kind of coat, fix it there. Going out to Egypt now. Great campaign to start to deliver the people. And while he's going out, the two boys are circumcised. And God say, who is not circumcised will be cut off. And she's saying, you're more taking up saddling the donkey. You're more taking up the hair. You're going looking for this certain staff to cut this shepherd's staff here. You know, you're going buying all these goods to last the whole journey and everything, and the children need circumcision here, and you're going to play going to deliver people, and your own children are circumcised. But as she got a stone, she caught off the two foreskins, she threw it to me. Your bloody husband, look! Woo. And the Bible said God wanted to kill Moses. And you can imagine that a few days after, pillar of fire, talking to the voice, burning bush, hand turned to leprosy, rod turned to snake, all these great things, expectation, and I am sending you, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. But the man charge up. Then God's going to kill him the next day. Why? Them things is not things on a low priority list. Them things is not things to neglect. Them things is equally important, and God don't see there's no minor thing. God see you being a parent, but is a great responsibility. God see at us, we fathers and we mothers in this hour, we have to recognize that this is a responsibility. God, give us these children, because there are many barren people, many people adopting children, many people minding dogs and cats who can't have children and different things. See? But God give us children as a heritage. And God give us a message to show us how to raise a family and to enter into the mystery of what it is to be part of the family of God, because God Himself has a family. And God is seeing that we cannot neglect these things. We cannot make these things just some loose thing at the side, or just some thing that, you know, second-rate thing that we do. It is equally important. It is of utmost importance by the grace of God. When you think of influence, look at the influence. Let's think of some influence that women had, mothers. Look at the influence that Naomi had on Ruth. And look where that influence upon Ruth caused Ruth to end up. She meet a young girl in Moab, one of Lot's ancestors, born of a perverted seed. She meet them down there in that country. But Naomi began to share the word. The way she carried herself with dignity. The grace that she had. Moving around the air. Real sacred womanhood. Whenever she get there, no gossip coming out of her mouth. She talking a little nonsense. And that attracting this young girl with a desire for spiritual things. And then Ruth begins to draw close to Naomi. Because, you know, daughter-in-law doesn't get close to mother-in-law, so you know. But this girl realizes, mother-in-law of mine has something I want. She has a certain grace. She's refined in a certain way, like she's been through fiery trials. She has a character, she has some grace. Her charm, her poise, her comportment, her dignity. She could take her old dress and put it on and make that dress look so good. She ain't need the dress to make she look good, she'll make the dress look good. Some people have such low self-esteem, they think the clothes is what will make them good. But God has taken you, amen, and you might wear all things, but you carry yourself in such a way that people more see the spirit radiating out of you than the clothes on you. Some people, because they have nothing to radiate out of them, they're about hat and stocking and bangle and ring and makeup and paint and high heel. Every single thing they can think of. But every time they're done, there's almost a whole store, cosmetic store, clothing store, jewelry store, walking on 2 feet. And you look for a little personality. You look for a little dignity. You look for a little charm. Nothing. Everything is artificial. You know what I'm saying? Naomi had a inner beauty. She had some character. She had a grace. She could hold intelligent conversation. She ain't over pious. She's sweet. She has a nice sense of humor. She can make people feel comfortable in her presence. She's hospitable. Beauty, man! She think of everything. Is the seat comfortable? We like a little cushion there. I see your ankle kind of swollen. You want to pop your foot, help your circulation. Let me make some nice tea for you here. I have a nice tea to help you relax. And how about a piece of my strawberry cake here? I want to share a scripture with you. Is it all right? I was meditating this today. The Lord just gave me such a sweet blessing upon it. Oh my. You know, She said, and if you have any shopping to do out of here, we can take tomorrow off. And I know a couple of good little places. So you don't have to waste your time running around in all these different places here. See? But you meet a perfect servant, a real lady, a person in touch with reality. When a person don't have a vision of what they're supposed to be, what God wants them to be, then they just let some old cultural background choke them, deform them and grow them up in some way. That half the time, they have the qualities, but they never had a parent to nurture and grow them up in the admonition of the Lord. When you're a parent and you see you have a little personality, help nurture that personality. Don't make her feel bad about it. Maybe she might be the one more external than the rest. So she talking so. You say, you shoot like a show. Wop, wop, wop. She's afraid to express herself. See? Because you think it bad. God give it to her. That might be the thing to win souls for the Lord. That might be the thing to attract people. That you can tell them about Jesus Christ. But you grow up fear. Maybe you had a broken relationship. And you see that the first thing Satan put in your mind that she'll go and get with somebody wrong person too. So you want to cut off anything that looked like she might be successful somewhere. Or attract people or something. And you and because your thoughts are narrow, she grow deformed. Because you don't have confidence that God give you a child. Like Manoah and his wife asked the angel, teach us what this child come for. Teach us what this child gifted with. Teach us so we will know how to develop and nurture this child, to grow this child, to fulfill the purpose that God equipped the child and sent the child for in life journey. We as parents can have a great influence. If these things are truths, if these things are real, if this is not some fables I'm saying here today, if this is not some makeup thing, if this is the word of God in power, if this is the word of God in reality, if this is the word of God that's relevant and applicable to us, if this is the word of God that is according to needs that we have in our very own lives, then how we ought to take that word and nurse upon it. How we ought to chew up that word and digest it. How we ought to ask God to let that word begin to shape and mold us and anoint our eyes and give us insight and give us skill and give us strength to work with it and see it come to life. Sometimes parents think children will get more successful than them and they can't handle that. Some parents can't handle a child no more than them. So almost they kind of figure, you teach my mother, I just don't teach me. Teach me all you can. I want to learn, I ain't too old to learn. Because when you teach me, I can teach you too. We'll teach one another, we'll help one another. Some people are afraid to learn from the children. They think it's a shame and an embarrassment to learn from the children. They alone want to be a written epistle, nobody else. Few o'clock this morning, I was thinking, you know what I should preach? So, I know I drop in these services here just to meet some needs, some little pastoral things. And then I said, I'm not going to be here this coming weekend. I'm going to be in Grenada with the meetings with the saints in Grenada. And then if I start something, I'll have to kind of bridge back. I'll leave it hanging, going to Grenada, come back. So then I said, somebody said, why don't you just stay right where you are? Because you had meeting with the 17 to 21, you had meeting with the 14 to 16, you had meeting the parents. So the best thing to do, since everybody in mind is not challenged, just preach right there. So that's why I didn't go searching for no sort of new stuff. I just say, well, okay, well, part two. I hope that ain't bad. By the grace of God, I feel we're going to get some strength here. I feel we're going to rise up in faith. Hallelujah! I feel we're going to accept the challenge of the hour. I've gone close now, you know. We have some things to do, you know, I have to get you on the trip, so I don't want to get you ahead of me. Amen? Okay, let's look at Jezebel's influence on Atalia a little bit. Not a mother, but a daughter. or Herodias' influence on Salome? How about Lois' influence on Eunice? The faith that was in Lois was in Eunice and ended up in Timothy. And he ended up to be in the ministry to carry the word of the messenger of the age in that age. And when she named him when he's born, mean God-fearing, worship of God. Faith leads you to worship. Impelled by faith, caught a revelation and worship God. And God testify of his gifts. I want to close the show. I'm trying to find what I'm going to choose to close on. I have quite a lot here, but I feel I want to close on Luke 9. Let me just read Luke 9. A little story. We as parents could exert the greatest influence upon our children. Because that was the channel through that God designed to really grow up and nurture our children. When we try to bypass that, we try to work with something other than what God gave to work with. You are key to the success of your children. A lot of what the children need is locked up in you. But you have to know how to use it to strengthen the bonds and the relationship between you and them. And the children, you have to know the things you need is not in some old thing confession book or some little movie out there or something. It's right with your parents. And you need to know not to shy away from your parents or let the devil influence away from your parents. But let God give you the grace and the humility to know how to relate to your parents. Even though sometimes you feel a block and you feel there's an offense, something offensive. And you build up a hurt and a resentment because they have had to correct you at some time. You want to take the low place. You want to respect the authority. Say, children, obey. Obey means subject to authority. And you have to recognize that God didn't let you come a man, a full-grown man. God let you come a child because he wants you to grow subject to the authority of parents in the institution of a home. And you have to learn to abide in that because that is preparing you for authority in school when you sit in your class under your teacher. And then for a job when you go to be under your boss. And then even to put you under authority of God and his word. So from very birth, God puts you to grow in submission to authority. That even the Bible says, obey them that have rule over you. Even the ministry and all these things too. It is because of lack of submission we have rebellion to authority. And Lucifer was the first one who chose not to be submissive to authority. Cain was the next one who chose not to be submissive to authority. Is that right? So you see how deep these things are? You see how deep the thunders are? You see how it ties the book together? You see the whole book is marriage and divorce? It starts with a family and ends a family. Starts with a marriage and ends a marriage. Starts with a home and ends a home. Sure. You understand what the seals are? You understand what the opening of the seals are? That isn't back, just listen back to tape, friend. No, it was in the book. When the thunder spoke and opened these things. Luke 9. Verse 37. Great monk transfiguration experience. Moses and Elijah appeared from another world, another dimension to Jesus. Peter, James and John chosen to be part of the mountain to see these dead conquerors. Moses conquered death. He resurrected and went into glory. Elijah was translated without seeing death. Jesus was transfigured. Went into the glorified condition. Three dead conquerors. In a conference on the summit of Mount Transfiguration. Three witnesses from the earth, Peter, James and John. And this is right after verse 37. And it came to pass that on the next day after this great transfiguration experience, when they were come down from the mountain, many people met them. And behold, a man of the company, insignificant man like me and you. People don't know us. We mingle in the crowd from day to day in the streets, in the jobs. We are not no important people. You read the papers today, you'll not see me or you in the paper. You'll hardly ever see anything about us. We're not important. But God sees everyone. Behold, a man of the company, just a man who was in the midst of the whole crowd here, cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child, and the Lord's spirit taketh him. And he suddenly cried out, and it teareth him, so that he foameth again, and brushing him, and bruising him, and hardly departed from him. What a description. The man gave a thorough description. He approaches the word. And he said, I beseech. That's a powerful word in the Bible. It's a word that expresses the intensity of the desire. The urgency of the purpose. It expresses a priority of concern. So here is in the concern of the Father being shown in his attitude and his language as he is approaching the word. What is the burden in the Father's heart? Deliverance of his child. Why does the Father want to see his child delivered? Why wasn't he on his job? Why wasn't he advancing his career and furthering his ambition? Why wasn't he out there in the arena in the sports and so on? Why is he with this child that is bunged up by a devil and need deliverance, crossing the country, looking for the anointed word? He's a father who took parenting serious. He's a father who made his child's need his first and foremost responsibility. He's a father who's willing to drop job, making money, foreign career, everything if my child need me. Your father to know that knew this child is my offspring. This boy don't have nobody to take care of. I am the one. This is my place. And I believe God and trust God. I know where the mercy seat is. I know where God is. I know where the power of deliverance is. I'm going to take my child. And when he went there, and he already knew everything about his child condition. Some people do not know what their children needs are. Some people do not know what is affecting the children. Some people do not know what kind of spirit and influence have gripped the children. Some people do not know the things the children are wrestling with and trying to be delivered and free from. And how much agony and pain and distress it causes them. Because they are too busy to spend time to look and see what is going on with the children. Some people are satisfied. The house have food. The children are running naked. And the children have no right to complain. They went through a lot to buy school books. And the children get enough. And the time that they need to spend with the children, the care that they need to understand their world, to enter into their world, to find out the problems and the struggles that they have, to know how they are coping, to know that they find themselves incompetent to even have proper conversation and find themselves unable to communicate for any length of time about any subject that involves the children. Whenever they talk to the children, it's because they have something to instruct them about. They have no time to listen to the children and let the children fellowship and share with them the things that interest them. And if the children don't come to them, they are insensitive to realize something is keeping my children from having a freedom to come to me. God said, come before me boldly before the throne of grace. You shall obtain mercy. If a child is afraid to come to his father or his mother, if a child is distancing themselves for some reason, The parents should be the first one to be sensitive to pick that up. Because they know there should be no gap in between me and my children. This man could have said how the child being bruised, how the spirit hardly departed from the child, how he suddenly cry out when the spirit taketh him, how the spirit tear him up. He knew all the effects, he knew all the conditions, he knew all the hardship, he knew all the problems, he knew the spirit is moving the child, he observed it, he watched it, he was sensitive to it, that when he come, he could cover the entire thing because he was a parent, always had his eye upon his child. Could you ever have a farmer planting a crop and the eye upon the crop? Weeds growing up all around it and here watching it? Thorns and thistles choking the seed and here care about it? All kind of fungus and mealybug and bachat eating it down and here interested in it? Could you see your car in your garden dirty? Your tire flat? And you care about it? You just jumping and driving yourself? Could you watch your needle going on and empty and you're interested in it? And your needle go up and red in your heat gauge and you're interested in it? Could you be more interested in those things, your possessions, than your own children? Can't you see when the heat gauge going up in the child? Can't you see when the fungus getting on them? Are you not sensitive? Don't you observe the early signs to show they are entering into certain nature of problems? Are you unconscious they've been interested in opposite sex? They've been taken up with those things? Are you unconscious that they could be influenced by drugs or something? How do you lose them? What is your philosophy? Well, God, they are no grandchildren. Then I guess say for themselves, I can't help them. That's it. Well, then I make up their own mind. That's it. I know the church. I know you're here. Because I see in your bodies. But you went somewhere. I was looking for a response. I was looking for some amen to come back. Can I hear it?
Yeah. Wonderful. Preach on, brother.
It tells me it's been received.
Yes, sir.
If I don't hear an amen, I want to know if it's been repelled. Should I lock it up and don't say it? Is it needed or not needed? Is it good advice? Is it the Bible or not? Did we come to church and find out to be better Christians to get closer to God, to overcome, to repair, make ready? Are we interested in helping those that connect us as weak and in need?
Yes, sir.
Are we going to our priority list and reshuffle it right now?
Yes,
before the altar call comes?
Yes, sir.
Or are we going to wait for the altar call?
Oh,
by the time the altar call comes, everything you need to do should be done already.
Yes,
because while you're here, you're fixing it in your own heart and your altar before God right now. Man, see, you must be sensitive to your child needs, to the problems, to the desires, to the pressures, to the different stages of development. When you plant something, you're expecting to reap it. Why? You've been checking it. You've been dealing with the fungus. Why have you been spending your time on fertilizers and pruning and spraying and all these things? Why? You want to make sure the thing bear fruit. And when the fruit come forth, brother, you have your eye peeled and you check it. You know, by tomorrow, supposed to be reaping it. Well, the same way, if you don't have the botany life, isn't human life a higher form of life than botany life? Haven't you made an investment in the children? Amen. We can't afford being sensitive. Not in this kind of hour. Not when the battle is raging. You have to be checking them. Even checking in their bag sometimes. Even checking in their cupboard sometimes. Not like police, open. Let's search. No. A little more wisdom sometimes. A little casual, unruffled.
Lord speak up a good word. You see, our goal is raising these children to serve God, helping them to find a place in life. That's the success. People want to make more sacrifice to their education. They want to make more sacrifice to their career. And they want to make little sacrifice to their salvation. And they're living according to the revealed word. Think of it. They want to acquire all kinds of things for them and not share themselves with them. And that's why he's saying here, fathers, mothers, this father's example. He had crossed the country, and when he came to Jesus, he said, I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answered, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long I will be with you and bear with you? Bring thy son here. And as he was coming, the demon threw him down. See what that demon react when he is coming to the word now? Amen. And tore him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. If that father didn't take time off for that child, if that father had learned to try to adjust to the child's condition, if that father said, well, I ain't had a time, boy. And the mother unable to carry the child. And the father said, well, look, when I get vacation, we will transfer our appointment or something and see, not right now. I'm kind of busy, you're disturbing me. I can't be interested in that right now. Taking some night classes here, doing something over here, I have a little project running here. They asked me to be chairman of the village council over here, and a coach for a little football team over here. I don't have time for that, man. Have faith in God, man. Go to church with your mother. I can preach a prayer for you. Send a prayer request. That's the way people come down to it. Send them to the deacon, send a prayer request. Tell the minister, deal with it or something. So, watch the father. He leave everything and he pick up his boy. And you know the world is up in the mountain. Transfigured. Come down with the glory of God like Moses would come out of the mountain. Walking on the mountain after in conference with Theophanes. As he descend, he in the crowd. But he ain't care about that crowd. He just witnessed him come down the mountain. And he crowd, Jesus, I beseech you. It's an urgent matter. It's top priority. I need your attention. I need your help. He began to expose himself. When the original story about a similar thing that happened this day, called the story of Donnie Morton, as we close. Let the musicians come for me, please. Just play softly for me a little bit. We can win this battle. I told you the other night in the parents' meeting, and I told the young people in the young people meetings. We are going to rise up together, rank and file, arm in arm, shoulder to shoulder, back to back, and win back the loss here. The ones that are weak and been defeated, we are going to find a way to strengthen them. The areas that is not given priority, we are going to make sacrifice and get focused to the real issue and the real problems. We are going to put this word into operation because God is waiting for people to mean business with God. God didn't want bench warmers. God didn't need a prophet to restore people back to sit on a bench. And God don't need people to sit down and criticize and do nothing criticizing while others trying to do something and making a mistake. God need a church unified. God need a church with love and commitment. God need a church with interest and willing to make a sacrifice. God need a church that know that God is able and He's all powerful and He's interested. And God need us to first cast aside our critical spirit, our selfish spirit, our ambitious spirit, and God needs to count the costs and realize what is priority and what is not priority,
and line up with the word if we want to see the glory of God. If we want to see the power of God, if we want to see people delivered. God don't want you complaining for 5 years of a child. God wants you to draw that child into the power and the influence of the atmosphere that your faith creates and the revelation that you claim you have, where you powerful children have and strengthen them and even teach them how to obey and to submit. And why it is necessary. Not that you demand it. Why it is necessary. Why God said. Why God wanted. Why it is proper. How it is going to help the child. Not because you like a big lord. You want to see everybody bow down before you. No. How it is going to help them in life when they learn to submit. Because if they can't submit to their father and mother, the authority in the home, how can they submit to the authority in school? How can they submit to the authority in the state? How can they submit to the authority in the church, in the house of God? If they start a little rebellion to authority in the home, they just continue to go with God. The one where they really have allegiance and feel committed is the one that they're born from. It's the one that sacrificed to help them and raise them and provide for them. If they could detest that, how could a girl end up being submissive to a husband when the time comes? And how could be a man interested in his wife when the time comes? When they grow up. You have to teach them, not just command, but teach them, train them, counsel them, instruct them, open up the mystery to them, fellowship with them. That's why we as parents, we have a job when we stand in church. We have to receive the word. We have to know the word. We have to come to church realizing the challenge is getting greater. And if we don't grow in revelation, then God will use our children to teach us like he used Samuel to talk to Eli. And use little children to bring judgment on big people. Exactly right. Like Jesus had to turn around and rebuke Mary and Joseph and said, I'm going to be out of my father's business when they were denying the supernatural birth of the word. God will have to bring it out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. He'll order in strength. He'll perfect praise. But Abraham could have an influence on Isaac. That Isaac could be obedient and submission to the will of his father, even though he had to die. Jephthah had a daughter who he raised. And who knew that she was privileged to be born in a godly home with a godly father. Though that father had been born to a concubine and was rejected and looked down and despised. But yet because God knew the man's heart, God raised the man up and made the man a captain to bring a deliverance to the very people who was claimed to be born proper. And God vindicated the man. And when the man was coming home, he so loved God and he so depended on God. He said, God, the first thing come out my door I give to you. And when he had a near home, the door opened and his daughter ran out to meet him. And that girl was a virgin, not yet married. And she submitted. Because she didn't want her father's testimony to be marred. She knew her life was to be the honor of her parents. And she had caught as a young girl that she could honor her father. The same way she could marry a man and honor the man. She could honor her father. And it was a hard thing. She said, give me a couple weeks to go with my girlfriends and talk with them and so on. Share my last time because I know I won't be able to be married. Today we don't have to do things like that, but that is put an example. What for? A parent influence. The kind of love and the bonds of relationship that could exist among family. That God wants to give to us. God said, I know Abraham. He will teach his household. Between the appearing of the supreme judge in the investigation judgment and the destruction of Sodom is a mystery. After God opened the mysteries, he said, Abraham will teach his family. And in this hour, between the appearing of the supreme judge and the Gentile will burn in fire, you've opened these seals and give it to us. What for? To argue and fight who in the truth, who not in the truth, who are false doctrine, who are so and so, and carry like a bunch of wild maniacs? No. But to raise our children for the glory of God, a heritage that God can confirm this message to this dying world. This is a story of a father and a boy that got healed. A boy that their father loved so much. And I want to close with and read it for you. I did it once in the church, even a parent series, just like this. And I felt led to bring this back because I feel that it's the kind of thing where it show parents the kind of love. Sometimes in the message,
You can't pick up a book on parenting and say, well, Brother Branham preached on parenting as a sermon, a whole book. But it's scattered all through the message, all through the Bible. If you could find it, if the world is open to you, you can find the things to help you in your life. You don't have to sit and be idle. You can grow in the Word. And we can grow to be a great church, a powerful church. A church that is an example in every form. We worship God. We feel the Spirit. The supernatural is here. We have parents. We have strong homes. We have close-knit people. We have people who can deal with problems. We have people sensitive to needs. We have people not just armchair critics, but we have people involved and participating. Like I said the other night, we don't want dictator family in church. Dictator and spectator and agitator and commentator. We want participators. That's what we want. Involve people who care, who want to support, who is interested in the kingdom of God. He said, now watch, friends, we'll draw a little picture. I want to look at here a few minutes and give me undivided attention, because I'm going to give you a parable and then you'll see it, the prophet says. Now in the Reader's Digest, it's wrote up there. I was standing out here. We had 2,700 people waiting to get prayed for, standing out here. You read the article. They had even put this article in Reader's Digest of something that happened in the prophet ministry. And this was back in 53. We're back in 53. A man came down from Canada. He had a little boy that had been to Mayo's and John Hopkins. A serious brain disease that drawed little hands in like this and drawed his legs up under it. And they said there's not even an operation or nothing can be done. So he took it back to Canada. He said, I'm not whipped yet. You get November issue of Reader's Digest. It's called The Miracle of Donnie Martin. The father carried his son to the doctors. They said not even an operation, nothing can help him. We do not know this disease. The father took his son back to Canada. He said, Donnie, we ain't whipped yet. We ain't whipped yet. I am your daddy. I'm going to give you all encouragement. You're not going to fall apart here and feel that your life ends and you can't live a good life. You are my little boy and I serve a great big God. I'm going to stand by you, son. All encouragement to your daddy's right here. If I have to take a job and just work on weekends, me and mommy are going to get by, but you're going to have me around by the grace of God. Amen. You talk about commitment and responsibility. A parenthood in this hour to make it top priority. I know that that's not no low priority item in our list, friends. No, sir. He says, I know of a faith healer named William Branham that caused two of my friends who was deaf and dumb to speak and hear. He's telling the boy this, putting faith in him. He says, I know of a faith healer. There's a call in that name. There. No man no heal, God heals. But the people said, give that term. So he's using the term what the man used. And they called and tried to find where I was at in America. I was over in Costa Mesa in California. The article, when you read it, the prophet said, get ready to cry. He said, read that article, read that digest. He said, get ready to cry. It'll just break your heart. How we went through snow drifts and everything else with that baby. You ever travel in snow? I mean, I tried to drive through some rain the other night, could hardly see where it's going. And our kind of roads with the amount of depression and that water that gathered in the road and pulled that wheel and then big holes that throw it to one side sometimes, you could hardly see, and part of the highway not even lit. Much more driving snow with slick roads. You slide and run off and the car can't keep control on the road. And the man was going. He wanted to get this boy through snow drifts, everything else with that baby. He said, be careful, Donnie. Now we are not yet defeated. And the little boy couldn't even smile hardly. He was so afflicted. He said, we are not defeated. We are going to ask God. We will go to God, prophet and ask him. Hallelujah. Watch the man in Luke 9 who said, Jesus, I beseech you. He observed his son. He was interested in his son's needs. Don't have your children weakening, falling apart in your house, locked up in a cage, and you don't live your life. And you had all your boy days, and you had your young time, and you had your fun and everything else, and you lock them up under your eye, and you put them under a key, and you're interested in killing them, and they want fellowship, and they want friends, and they They want to, and you ain't seen because you're getting sensitive, and then they get into all kind of weird things afterwards, after a while, then they're going to hide from you because they feel you love them. They're going to hide from you because they feel they can't talk to you and you're unapproachable and everything else. You know what's going to happen? You're going to lose them. And then you're going to think they're bad. You're going to try to tell them, I give you this. No. They need more than that. They need you. Like God, when the Indian chief tried to bring the horse and the blanket, where he said, Father, here I am. God responded. God need you. Your children need you. So they came through the snow. Finally got down there from Canada, California. And the mother was coming with them. And they didn't have money enough to go by airplane. So they sent the mother back. And the boy and daddy had to come on a bus. And how they rode all the way from Winnipeg, Canada, to Costa Mesa, California. And they got in there broke. And their father tells about how to change the little diapers on him. Little boy about 7 or 8 years old, just perfectly helpless. And now he was, couldn't get a chance to eat or nothing. He said the little boy could just hear him talk and he would tell the way his eyes looked that he was trying to smile, you know. And know that he'd tell different sights he would see over in America. Get the picture, he'd come with the boy. Boy wet on himself, messed up with himself. Father let him in the bus. Run out of money, broke. Had to send the mother back home. Coming through the snow and everything else. Because he said, Donnie, we're not going to give up. I'm going to take you to the prophet of God. We're going to ask God. We tried to pray. We went to doctors to give us up. But son, we still believe in a miracle working God. We still believe in a God who cares, be touched by the finger of the infirmities. So they're coming. And when they got to California, they said to the traveler's aid, information desk, you know, about traveling. When he come to see, he said, come to see a divine what? And a big question mark. What you come to Canada for? He said, come to see the divine healer. Man said, what? You can't come to America to say divine healer? What kind of thing is this? You know, some people are skeptical when you say something about God and they're not a Christian and believe in God. And you travel with a sick boy, all drawn up, changing diaper, no money. How are you going to take care of yourself while you're in the country? Where are you going to stay? Well, we are. How many have? Declare. About $15. You have passes to go back. Oh, what kind of thing is this? See? But the boy comes with his son by faith. He will not give up on his child. Amen. Of course, you could imagine what America said about it. That's us. See, we are so smart. We know everything. You're talking about the American spirit now. And there's no need of telling us anything. We got it all wrote down. And then so a divine what? Come all the way from Winnipeg, Canada? Why, they thought that was horrible. You bring this little child through the snow? That was some divine, he's some faith healer. You can kill this child in this cold. What is the matter with you, mister? And you have no money to kill a child? Man, you're a responsible father, man. See? People can look up on you what you're doing. But his love being expressed, his sacrifice. And he was giving his boy all the hope that his boy had. Because nobody else could give the boy hope. And he had to love his boy. And he was just going to give up to die and live a defeated life. Anyhow, the newspaper catcher car sent him over there. He said when they got in line, where it was, 2,700 people with me prayed for. And when they seen that deformed, little looking boy, and that poor dad with his cap on his rugged coat, said everybody step aside and give his place. It's against the rules to stop a prayer card. Somebody must come in the prayer meeting and get your own card. If they get you caught in a line swapping cards, that's how they set up the service. The prayer card is dishonored because you must come and hear the instructions and know how to receive it. It's up to you. You can't get it for someone else. I don't believe much in the thing, but maybe if you will heal me. And then that caused a fuss in the platform. So you have to explain how to get healed, how to approach God, gift and so on. So when the boy started, the father started on the platform ahead of the people, Billy asked him for his prayer card. He didn't have any. He said, I'm sorry, sir, you'll have to wait. My, all you from Canada through the snow, spend your last bit of money,
come in the prayer line. Where your prayer card? None. Well, you have to wait. 2,700 people will be prayed for before you. No money to sleep in a hotel. No money to buy food. No money to go back home. So I was talking to someone. I happened to hear it. I seen that father go and I said, what's the matter? Oh, thank God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! But we want them kind of servants. And we want them kind of fathers who can be sensitive to need. He's talking to somebody, big meeting, 20 people to pray for. But he happened to overhear that conversation. See the man going away, sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He said, what that's about there? Bring that man back here. Bring him back here. Oh, my. God make us like that in this hour. I said, just a moment. Father was crying. I looked right in the face of the baby, told the baby where it was from. Could you imagine the hope? He said, we're carrying the boy to this prophet. He comes there. Can't get us to the prophet. 2,700 will be prayed for. Here stands a prophet. If he's a real prophet, he will know. He turned there. He said, what is that about here? He didn't even talk to the father. Walked right up and looked at the boy. Said, I'll tell the boy his name. Shall I tell the father where he come from? Shall I tell him the condition? Shall I tell him the circumstance? Told the baby where it was from. It had been to Mayo Clinic. All about what was mattered with it. How sick it had been. Everything. And so the father started crying and decided to leave. And he started the platform. And he turned around. He said, that's right, sir. But will my baby ever live? See? He knew that they heal him. He said, that's right. But will my baby ever live? I said, that I can't see. And that's a real prophet too. Because God didn't, he didn't see the boy heal. He only see the condition. Where the boy was examined. What the doctor said, different things. He said, that I can't see. I said, just a moment. Look at the grace of God now. I seen a vision. The vision break. I seen a vision appear. I said, you won't want to believe this. Because Mayo and Hopkins both said that operation couldn't be formed on that brain. But I tell you what to do. You, tomorrow, you go ahead with this baby. Within the next 3 days, you are going to meet a black-headed woman in the street. And that woman is going to ask you what's the matter with the baby. And then she's going to tell you of some little country doctor out here that can perform that operation. And you won't want to believe it. Because Mayo turned it down. The best clinic, the greatest authority in the land turned it down. And it was impossible to be done. But that's the only chance your baby has through the power of God, the mercy of God, and that operation. If you believe in this prophet, go do as I tell you to do. And the prophet said, like putting the figs on Hezekiah. He gave us a scripture. Like Isaiah didn't heal Hezekiah. He said, go put some figs on your boy. See? He turned around and said, thank you, sir. And he walked off. 2 days or more passed. He was down on the street one day. And a lady looked up. What's the matter with your baby? He said, I got a brain disease. He was going on talking like that. And well, they thought it was awful bad. And so she said in a few minutes, something taking place. She said, sir, I know of someone who could perform that operation. He said, lady, look, Mayo, give it up. See? The thing happening. And you don't realize it. He said, look, lady, my old brother's giving up. And said, it can't be done. He said, a man up here was praying for it, named Brother Branham. He made a prayer for the baby. He said, wait. Wait a minute. You watch your woman, black-headed, wearing a gray coat. He said, that's her. He said, where is that doctor? And he told him, took him up there, and the doctor performed the operation, and the baby got well. He said, no, that come through Reader's Digest, you see. And my old brothers called me in on the interview for that. Said, Reverend Branham, what did you do to that baby? I said, nothing. I never touched it. I only told what God tell me to tell it. The man obeyed it. Let's stand to our feet. Oh, let's lift up our hands and praise him. We serve that same God here this morning. Hallelujah. He's still that mighty God in our midst. He's still a God that can put that love in a father's heart for his child. The same God helped the Syrophoenician woman whose daughter had a devil. And she came to Jesus. And Jesus called her a dog. And Jesus said, I sent to you. And she didn't blow up. She loved her daughter so much. I was determined. You could call me what you want. You could tell me I'm the worst. I ain't coming to argue about that. Yes, I'm really a dog. But the dog is in the crumbs, amen. I just come to hear. You could say, my daughter as well. Is a woman for the same. Go that way. We want them kind of parents, amen. Hallelujah. Brother, who will go any distance to see the children get delivered? Parents who is sensitive to the needs of their children this morning. Then I wouldn't get half of them questions sometimes. Because many people don't know how to deal with problems. They react, they abuse, they criticize, they condemn. Yet they have a foul pen and they're raising chickens. They'll clean up the foul pen. Yet they're binding goat and sheep and ox. They clean up the stable. Yet they're raising children. They don't want to deal with things. They don't beat the ox and say, I cleaned here just yesterday. You don't do it back up again? Licks. From now you're sleeping outside. Don't kill the ox. Ox have to rest. Nice fresh hay. Warm place. We're going to go to work tomorrow for them. Chicken had to lay egg. Bring food for the family. See? Let's rise a bit of faith here in this hour. Because the kind of problems they are faced with today, they need tutorship. They need fellowship. They need relationship. They need leadership. How much are you willing to give to them? How high on your priority list are you willing to place them? The first parent in the Bible, which is Almighty God, he knew how to redeem his children when they fell. He knew how to deal with the sin problem when they fell. He knew how to reconcile them and bring them back into union and fellowship when they fell. He knew how to go seeking them. He knew from the time he missed them and they went astray, he went looking for them to get them back in his presence. I think we all read the same Bible. I don't think your Bible miss out them chapters. And I think that's the first home, and that's the first marriage, and that's the first civilization. And I think if we have children that need redemption, we watch them and not trying to redeem them. If we have children in trouble, out in the world, messing themselves up wrong, I'm not trying to spend time and talk to them to win them and get in condition to do battle with the influence that hold them. And we kind of laughing and treating them like, man, say, God, go bring them when you're ready. I think we don't even have a concept of who God is. That's why it takes long to come. Because you fail to realize that this day, God has to work in union with you. It's God and man in union. God working through, walking in your feet, speaking through your lips, thinking with your mind, working with your hands. You having faith to believe for them. Virtue to go with what you have with meekness. Knowledge to understand them and the condition. Temperance to bear with them. Patience to wait. Godliness to make sure you have a godly, respectful life. Body kindness to put yourself in the place. Love. Bear all things. Endure all things. Not easily provoked. Doesn't behave itself unseemly. I think that's what it is. I think that's a mystery. I think that's a life. I think that's a token. I think that's a revelation. I think that's the power of God in the church. Rather than go and try to probably cast out devil off of somebody and try to do this and then I pray and bring them the power of God and see the revival. And I think we can start right there. I think we can do our evangelism right there. I think we can do our counseling right there. We can do our encouragement right there. And you, in this age of rebellion, when the Spirit wants to make you rebel and the Spirit wants to make your parents look evil to you, and the spirit of rebellion and stubbornness wants to get you to resist the instruction that comes from the lips of your parents, to go to get some advice from somebody who don't know you, who don't have the trouble to raise you, who don't have to make the sacrifice to support you. It's cheap and very easy for such a person just to give advice, because they cost them not to open their mouth and give all kind of advice. And that's why you want somebody who's a parent, who is also struggling to raise children, who is facing the same problems, and who have to find the answer in the Word to the situation, and know how to work with the Word to bring the deliverance. And that's the way. And you want to be children in the Bible that could be such an encouragement to your parent, to your obedience and your adherence, and to your respect and your reverence. But when your parents have to go the extra mile, do not discourage, because they found someone who is willing to obey them and submit to their authority. Why do you want to wear the clothes they could buy, and eat the food that they provide, and sleep in the bed, and enjoy the shelter that they give, and then don't take the advice from them? And why would you want to dishonor them by trying to honor somebody else? Though they may deserve respect, but why try to dishonor your parents? Who is the one? He tells you in the Ten Commandments, the first commandment of promise, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long. I believe today, with these little few words of exhortation, the power of parental influence, we can see a deeper insight to enter in and get a greater hold of faith and become a little more burly to give the encouragement and the strength to establish our hopes, establish our families, to repair the breaches between us and our children, become more sensitive and more watchful over them, and more sensitive to the needs and the things that trouble them, and show a greater willingness that they could depend on us, and that they would feel free to open up and confide with us and say, "Dad, I have a problem. I want you to help me with this." Not just school work, but in their own life. Maybe I might get a teacher, Daddy, because you never was good in mathematics. So I have a maths teacher can help me with maths problems. But when coming to life problems, I want to go to anybody else but you. I want to come to you. You want that kind of relationship. You want to live in that kind of victory that will earn that respect. You don't want to demand that and then live in defeat before your children, and they see you failed and can't even live the life for yourself. When they come to you, they want to draw from your wisdom, draw from your strength, draw from your courage, draw from your patience. Don't they feel at ease in your presence? May God help us today. And we as parents, as we go to pray here, and you as children, especially in the teenage realm, where it's most hard because you want to think your own thoughts and express your own initiative, but you don't want to do it in a form of rebellion, you too have to learn how to find that place to have fellowship. And when you are shown a more excellent way, you don't want to hold on to a way that is wrong. And when the Word of God even show all of us a way that's right and a more excellent way, we don't want to hold it down and say, "Well, my mother raised me so, or we family grew so, or that's my culture." No, no. We want to walk in truth. We want to walk in truth is to walk in light, and the blood cleanses from all sin. Culture don't cleanse from all sin. And the way your family raised don't cleanse from all sin. When you walk in the truth, it cleanses from all sin. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. That's what we are desiring. As we bow our heads and close our eyes, all along the buildings, everywhere, all on the outside. Everyone is a parent here this morning. Everyone is a young man and a young woman, a child. Let's all unite together as we bring the service to a close. Father, in humility, with deepness of sincerity, we are faced with problems that we cannot deny. Many times we lack the courage and the strength to deal with it, because even of the burdens and depressions of daily life, we evade things We put it aside for another time. But today we realize the importance of giving priority to things that is of need. And to be able to weigh things, Father, that is important to our children, to our home, to their future. And to show the interest, to give them the guidance and the direction that they have need of. Knowing that those things will motivate and inspire the obedience and the submission in them, even as a husband loves his wife, influences her to be in submission to her own husband. Because love brings submission. Love brings obedience, and love brings service. Love is based in trust. And Lord God, we pray, Father, where we have failed, where we have been negligent, and where it has caused us hurt, and it has been to the weakening and the destabilizing of our own homes. May today, as we examine these things under the light, that the word has shined upon many areas that we have encountered and that we face from day to day, and help us to bring a true focus, a readjustment, a new approach where we are failing, and to strengthen us where we are working with in the right channel, that we can even have greater expectations to see our homes happy, our children joyful, our relationships blossoming out, the family being established. You blessing us. We live it to your honor and to your glory. We desire that, Father. Help this church, dear God. Help us all from the pulpit all the way to the janitor. Let this light, let this strength flow into every crack and corner of this church, for we are all needy. None of us, Lord God, can say we are not without need. We confess before you, we are a needy people. But we are thankful for your interest to give us the help and to raise us up, Lord, to give us victory and good success. May this oil and this wine being poured into these places today bring healing, bring a renewal of strength, and a closer knitting together, Father. Would you do that for us, Lord, we pray. We ask it for your honor and for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. For you who have to pick up your tickets for Grenada and to make your final payments up in the administration building, after service you'll see Brother Earl Pereira. He'll be there to deal with these things. And remember among yourselves, check the board. You stay with each other in your room. May God help you to work together. And may in the family of God here, may we also apply all these principles in the home church and be a closer family in the local assembly. You love Him? You appreciate the word? Amen. Let's just lift our hands to Him and thank Him from the bottom of our heart. I believe we'll see change. I believe we'll see deliverance. I believe we'll see victory. I believe we'll see improvement, advancement. Father, we thank you. We expect in these things, Lord. We expect in to see these things improve and see change be wrought in the name of Jesus Christ. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. To trust in God. God bless me, have your seat. The ushers dismiss you. Oh, sing it again, through it all. Through it all. trust in Jesus. Learn to trust in God. Through it all. Through it all. Learn to depend upon God's will. I've had many tears and sorrows. God, she bless you.